Okay. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, one and all, scumbags and good people, fabulous and the non-fabulous, to Malignant Humour. I'm your host, Vinny Eastwood, on this The United We Strike radio marathon broadcast that can conceivably go on forever, kind of like a Barack H. O'Barry Obama speech. But unfortunately, I am not fueled by the power of the dark gods, so I can't do that like he can. This is the Kiwi section of the Radio Marathon, and first of all, I'd like to give big ups to all of the very talented, special, hardworking people that are busting their hump behind the scenes here at United We Strike Radio, because it is not an easy job. It's a fun job, but it's still a job. Especially if the alternative to having this work be done is extermination. So thank you very much for all your hard work. And thank you very much for actually giving me the opportunity to bring some Kiwi activists to the international airwaves to let the international audience and the Kiwi audience know that the same things are happening in this country as they are all over the world. Today we have actually breaking news from my first guest today. Her name is Evelyn Gilbert. Evelyn, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vinny. Thank you for having me.
Hey, and with New Zealand, what people seem to forget sometimes is that we're just as retarded as the rest of the world, Mm-hmm. Because we've got just as much fluoride, just as much chemtrails, just as much vaccines, and even more toxins are allowed in our water and bloodstream as is the rest of the world. For example, Grazon, the main ingredient in Roundup, allegedly, we're allowed 1,000 times more in our drinking water than is allowable under EU drinking water standards. So you can be rest assured that Evelyn's going to have us some really bad information. But don't worry, I'll be here to keep it a little bit levitatious, if that's even a word. Now, Ev, you gave me a call earlier today and explained to me a little bit of a situation about your rates and your mortgage from your local area in Raglan. And I'd like it if you could actually divulge and tell the listeners about it as well.
Well, just like in any other of the Anglo-Saxon countries, we pay rates here, which is basically a rent on your property to the government, to the local council. I decided for a while not to pay it, and I got a letter from my bank telling me that if I didn't pay my rates, they would be obliged to pay the rates for me. And I thought that was strange. So what I did was I just still didn't pay, and Friday, two weeks ago, I received a letter from my bank that they had paid my rates straight to the council out of my bank account. And just this afternoon, I got a telephone call telling me that if I didn't pay the entirety of my rates in one foul swoop, they would start basically repossessing procedures and trying to get... what they also said was because I had a debt on my mortgage account, the mortgage payments that I was making would go into the debt, which meant that I would go into arrears, and that I was already in arrears for 2 weeks. So basically, it is allowed here in New Zealand, and I'm sure there are situations all over the Anglo-Saxon countries where this happens, where your council can put a huge unelected powerhouse from abroad in between them and the citizens to collect their tax for them.
Well, when I look at fascism, it's all about public-private partnerships, basically. That's how Hitler built his roads. That's how he built his army up, by doing partnerships with, mainly major American corporations, most ironically enough. And what I see happening here in New Zealand is no different to the rise of Nazism, which is basically just socialism dressed up. They've said that it's right wing, but no, it's actually just they're just two sides of the exact same left wing spectrometer. And in this country, boy, we are commie to the days. And it is no surprise to me that the government is doing this kind of thing. And it's interesting that it's local council, Evelyn, because what it tells me is that Raglan must have an Agenda 21 office, just like Hamilton does, and allegedly Auckland must have one as well, because every single policy that I see being implemented by local councils, or at the very least since I've become politically aware, and aware of Agenda 21 and what it is, this has been basically following step-by-step instructions from the Agenda 21 Council, or ICLE, as they're called. And the main agenda here is the abolishment of private property and overtaxing those who currently have it so that eventually they'll lose it. And when you tell me that the bank has gone in partnership with the local government to steal your money, I feel that that's basically what it is. If they take your money without asking you, that's stealing! And and if theft is something sanctioned by government through a private corporation, I can think of no less unholy alliance.
Well, it's even worse. They can steal it from you because they can print money out of thin air and give it away and leaving you to pay it out of your real world assets. And Raglan, by the way, falls under the Waikato Council. So that's all the one big conglomerate. We don't have a separate council office. And so if for example, John Key, our Wall Street banking prime minister, who is now borrowing some $230 million every single week, decides next his mates in Wall Street.
Well, did you say 230? Because according to mainstream media, it's been 250 since he started, and it's been bumped up to $400 million a week, according to a BNZ chief.
Well, I stand corrected. I'm perfectly happy to believe this because, of course, what they want to do is do the same thing, the same thing as they do in Greece and Italy. And, you know, it's just the difference is that we voted a banker in rather than having had a coup like Greece and Italy to have a Wall Street banker being put in power. But, you know, if next year his mates say, okay, call in the debts, what it means is that they can basically via this connection, this contract, they can print money out of thin air and leave you in the real world with the mess and having to pay it and pushing people out of houses. In fact, this is already happening. In Raglan, which had the prices of houses have gone up so quickly and the prices of rates that people who've lived on the coastline their whole lives and had private property paid off for eons are now being forced out of their houses because they can't afford to pay the rates. So this mechanism is already in motion.
Well, yeah. I would suspect that it's not entirely different the whole country over, because Agenda 21 focuses on having a global to local program. So they have the policy level up the top here, which gets decided outside of the country. Nobody hears about it. Nobody gets invited to these meetings or whatever. And then they just dispense all of these orders and all of these different practices throughout local councils. One that I found particularly interesting was the implementation of parking meters. Down in Hamilton, for example, which is allegedly the city of the future, I take that to mean the city of Agenda 21, they have installed parking meters in virtually the entire inner city. Okay, you cannot get free parking for love or money in that city. Okay, and this is part of what the agenda is to make life itself an incredibly expensive thing, so that people will be kept down. And kept down very low and not be able to pay off their debts, so that they will be indentured servants basically until the end of time. And if anybody cares about private property or having rights or anything, there's the old Borg line.
Oh, we need to do it for the collective.
Yes, it is. By the way, if you're ever in Hamilton, I know free parking places in the center. Oh, yeah, they forgot a couple. But, yes, what is interesting is...
Let's see how long they last.
what is interesting, Vinny, is that that with the arrival of the new shopping center, which was built by the iwi, the local iwi, from the money they got out of the treaty settlement, and the fact that it was just impossible to basically shop in the center, the old center of Hamilton, in amongst others because of the parking meters and because of the money it costs and because of the lack of parking places, it's completely died out. I arrived here on these shores 6 years ago, and the last 3 years shops are closing. It's completely killed off, and there's free parking on the Tarapa shopping center parking places. I don't know how long that's going to last, but I think that's private property. So they effectively killed off an entire shopping area where a lot of smaller shops were, and they're now big, you know, farmers, the big international corporations basically have taken over whatever there is to shop in Hamilton. So that's another corporate takeover basically.
Now, there's many corporate takeovers planned for New Zealand, including the recent rounds by the Prime Minister and the Irrational Party, sorry, the National Party, Freudian slip, to sell off all our state assets. Well, partly sell them off. And as far as I'm concerned, partial privatisation is like partial pregnancy. There's just no such fracking thing.
No, what's more, I can't remember exactly what he didn't want to acknowledge, but he's basically not wanting to implement or put on paper that it's only going to be to a maximum of 49%. So when you start privatizing one little part of a company, it means that basically it will be privatized entirely in probably the next 2 or 3 years. It's not going to stop at a partial privatization. Once they've acclimatized you to the idea of private and public domain being privatized by small increments, there is no stopping it. Next will be private prisons, which is, you know, we see what happens in America.
They've already started that agenda here. And this is what I mentioned earlier, is that the exact same things that are happening here are happening overseas or have already happened, or the things that are happening here are going to be then exported overseas, because we're a test country, aren't we, Evelyn?
We are, yes. They have put through all the internet copyright laws here first, and they're trying to implement them around the world. They've got draconian inspection rights allocated to not just the police, but to every man and his dog who's entitled to do any kind of inspection. And having said that, they're already inspecting in Europe with drones, and I'm expecting them here too, because this is a big country, and if they need to control a population, they're going to need to be doing it with drones, which, by the way, are already high on the wish list of the New Zealand Air Force. That's admitted.
Yeah. And in fact, interesting tangent I can add in here. A guy, I forget what his name was, he became the chief science advisor for the New Zealand Defence, and he was the least incompetent, the least competent person, like, virtually in New Zealand employment history. And he was a complete fantasist. Like, he said he was part of Special Forces, and he was part of the Olympic bobsled team, and he was, like, part of the English rugby team and all this stuff. He was just making all this stuff up. And the media got wind of this guy, how he'd just basically shafted everyone with his with his employment record. And so they went to all his previous employers that they stated, and the reporter told these employers, did you know that your former employee is now the chief of science and development for the New Zealand Defence Force? And every single one of them was absolutely gobsmacked, thinking, how? Are you serious? And it just goes down to the fact that if you've got a nice accent, people won't check in this country. You just go, sweet ass mate. She'll be right.
Didn't they do the same thing with a woman who headed the?
Yeah. There was a woman who had a fake doctorate as well, who became one of the heads of what was it called, Work and Income New Zealand. But anyway, the point that I was trying to make is, back on the drone story, this guy who I was talking about, the head of science development, defense for New Zealand, he actually managed to stall a New Zealand drone and rocket program by up to 10 years through his incompetence. So, of course, what's happening here is we could have made our own drones to suppress our own population, but now we're going to have to do a public-private partnership and get some evil drones from overseas. And in fact, we'll probably just hire somebody in an Indian call center to pilot them.
Well, they can now do, in America, just last week, it emerged that they now doing test runs with a drone who doesn't need anybody to man it. They can just program it, and it will do its job and return, and you don't need to have anybody involved. So yeah,
it just kind of alleviates people from responsibility when they're basically playing a computer game with people's lives.
Well, yes, and it. Of course, they can hold these people responsible, or the people who designed the planes, but, you know, will you get to them? Do you know who they are?
Well, and even if you did get to them, you'd wind up getting somebody who's very low on the ladder, wouldn't you,
Absolutely.
Evelyn? Somebody who's offered up as some description of corporate sacrifice. And, of course, the CEOs won't get this. And that dovetails with white-collar crime in this country is phenomenally rampant. I mean, I've had a look at many, many countries throughout this world and had a look at their white-collar crime. Most of them are pretty fracking bad, but in New Zealand, not only do we not jail our white-collar criminals, we actually promote them and then elect them to Parliament, as happened with Hewlett Finance, the three co-directors, right? Don Brash, former governor of the Reserve Bank, John Banks, former CEO, mayor of Auckland City, and David Hewlett, the guy whose name was on it. Now, David Hewlett was convicted for signing off fraudulent investment statements to their shareholders. And he wasn't the only person who signed those documents who were proven to be fraudulent. Also, John Banks and Don Brash did. And yet, Don Brash winds up becoming the head of the ACT Party. They lost in the election, so goodness knows what he's doing now. But John Banks does get elected. And now he's the Prime Minister, John Key's right-hand man in Parliament, and he gives them ministerial positions. That's how white-collar crime works in this country. If you can prove yourself to be a scumbag, boy, oh boy, do we have a job for you, because they require people to be in Parliament without conscience, without care of the people, and are used to having no consequence. In a word, sociopaths.
Well, I can tell you what Don Brash is probably doing. Don Brash was called to Europe and America on the last day of the All Blacks tournament, where he was going to be presiding in the ANZ banking box. And he flew to meet with the governor of the Bank of England. And then he flew to America to meet with, he was meeting with the New York Federal Reserve people. So he was basically called over to talk with people, you know, the highest echelon of financial power, and he said he was going to offer advice on the crisis in Europe, which of course is ridiculous. But you know, he's very much a soldier for the international banking elite.
He's a special forces soldier of financial fortune.
Absolutely. And he will do whatever they tell him.
Have you ever seen the movie Predator, you know, where they send in several teams of guys trying to find this commie base or whatever that's staging this massive thing, and eventually they have to call in the big guns, Arnie and his special crew, and they get the job done after cooking up a story and dropping them all in a meat grinder? That's Don Brash. He's like the Arnold Schwarzenegger of financial criminality.
Well, if you look at him, he doesn't look very Schwarzenegger, does he?
No. And something tells me I'd wish that a predator would rip his spine out. If he's even got one to begin with, that is.
Exactly.
Which is arguable.
None of them do.
I have stacks of evidence of this, you know. I have the documents.
I can prove this. A bunch of thieving, spineless psychopaths.
Yeah, yeah. Well, James Burns from freedomfiles.us is a great term for them. He calls them a jellyfish. And basically it's because a jellyfish is spineless. You can see right through them, and they just float on the current and go whatever direction the current takes them. And that dovetails as well with many of the people of this world. And I don't like to talk down to people or about people or anything like that, because I think it's like we lose our humanity to a sense when we do that. However, I have no such qualms about ridiculing or pointing the finger at people like Don Brash and John Banks who engage in untold quantities of scumbaggery, because they have since become removed from the human condition due to their sociopathy, because they don't feel emotions like we do. They don't feel guilt like we do. And so, hence, they no, the human condition no longer applies to them.
Absolutely not. And what's worse, by being in power, they're forcing the rest of the population in the form of secondary psychopathy, because they have to survive, and they will adapt to the people's the way the people in power want them to be, which is really a form of psychopathy that they want us to engage in.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they provide the examples for us to follow, and this is why I feel very, kind of freaked out by the whole prospect of these people becoming elected to Parliament because of the example that they provide to people. I mean, these are supposed to be our role models. What do we want? Everybody in New Zealand to become a financial terrorist? I think not. And I think the implications of that are incredibly grave indeed. Now, I'm trying to bring in a second guest into this call here, but I'm not sure if that'll actually work. His name is Ralph Engel, and he's a musician. He's going to be playing a song for us, but he needs to add the producer to his contact list beforehand. So in the meantime, Evelyn, we can still keep chatting about this. Now, what is your background, and what actually woke you up to the New World Order system as a whole? It was kind of 9/11, wasn't it?
No, actually. The day it happened, I looked at those buildings and I said to my husband, those are controlled demolitions, and then I went back to sleep again. I mean, I saw the buildings fall, and I thought they were pre-programmed basically to fall instead of fall over, because it was so clear that it was either a controlled explosive demolition, and then Building 7, it was an implosion. But I went back to sleep because I had serious problems on the home front with my business being overstretched, and the portfolio where my building belonged to that I was renting being taken over by, as it turned out, to be a representative of a Russian oligarch who was, I found out, sent over to launder about 50 million euro. That's $100 million. And we were part of a group of victims of this guy, and that is what got me on to what real evil is. So that woke me up to real evil and the total senselessness of that evil and the destruction of wealth and it creates, and how damaging and psychopathic it is. And when we moved away from where we were living at the time, I started researching this phenomenon, but I also started, for some strange reason, I googled 9/11, and that is what about 6 years ago got me on to, I started to research it, and it took me between 3 and 5 months, I think, before I could actually admit to myself that the official story was completely bogus. And since then, I've been researching 9/11, I've been researching international finance, I've been researching the banking system and how the agenda of these unaccountable, extremely rich individuals is basically the destruction of society as we know it, and possibly the depopulation of large areas of our globe. And so that's what got me onto it, Vinny.
Well, nothing motivates you more than the thought that I'm going to be exterminated. Some people get really demotivated by hearing that, though. It's kind of like a like a hypocrite comes up to you and says, oh, you're going to go to hell or something like that. And you just kind of, well, mate, if I'm going to go to hell, that demotivates me from becoming Christian. Kind of like somebody comes up to you and says, the New World Order is going to come and exterminate you. There's going to be black uniforms coming right at you. You know, and it's just like, whoa, well, that kind of freaks me out. I'm going to go into a nice little fetal position, and that's where I'll stay.
Well, that is happening with a lot of people. There's a lot of people that tell me, if this really happened the way you're saying it, I don't want to know. There's, thank God, an incredible increase of people who visit my blog.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Oh, we have our guest. We have our guest, Ralph, has just turned up. Sorry, Evelyn, just finish what you're saying, and you can stay on the call if you wish here, and you can contribute later on, because we'll have Ralph here for about 30 minutes. He's going to play us some songs. But sorry, finish up your rap.
God, I completely lost it now.
All right.
Can you remind me of Yes, I remember
okay.
it. You know, my blog, which I would like to mention, is Aotearoa, a wider perspective, .wordpress.com. But if you Google Aotearoa, a wider perspective, it comes up as number one. My blog has seen an increase of visitors of literally tens of thousands over the last 4 months. This is, I think, because people are waking up, and I'm not the only blog that has seen this happen. It's happening with a lot of alternative media, a lot of alternative blogs, newspapers, mainstream media, mudstream media, as I call them, are losing readers by the thousands, and it seems we're gaining them. So that gives me hope.
Well, there's two types of bloggers and alternative media people in this world. One, the alternative media who want to say what they want to say, but at the end of the day will sell out because they admire and want to become the mainstream media. And then there's a second kind, which is me, who see the mainstream media for the fraud, scumbaggery, filth that they are, and want to destroy them and rise like a phoenix from their ashes.
Absolutely.
Well, Ev, if you just want to mute your microphone, we can. I just want to do my little stint with Ralph here now. And if you want to just keep listening in, that'll be cool. And in about 30 minutes or so, we should have some time to speak again. So, Ralph Engel, can you please introduce yourself to the listeners?
Hi, Vinny. How you doing? My name's Ralph. I'm a singer-songwriter from New Zealand. My band is called This Flight Tonight, and I'd like to sing you some songs today, which I hope relate to our cause, general cause, with awakening with people. The first song is called The State I'm In. Basically, I'd like to sing you that. It's about a king that gets overthrown.
Take it away.
All right.
State I'm in, this is murder. In my favorite clothes I wander, before the bricks I laid in my rain fall in. This is the shape I'm in, this is failure. In my favorite corner when the panic will come to an end, who will I love? Who will I rely on? Who will I rely on? When the dust settles. stomach sitting in. How'd I get so ugly? How and when? When the dust settles, who will I rely on? 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 Who will I rely on?
Yeah!
Sound of one hand clapping.
Yep. It's a shame presidential speech applauses don't sound as pitiful as that round of clapping, but...
Indeed.
Can I ask you something, Ralph, about yourself? Do you have a website or something, a MySpace page where people can actually listen to your songs? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a .com. And that website is thisflighttonight.com, and it's everything is there, from free downloads to videos and general scumbaggery, as you would call it.
Well, I do enjoy my general scumbaggery. now, can you enlighten me as to what actually kind of woke you up? I mean, I'm making it of the presumption you're aware of the New World Order, and we've never spoken before.
Mm.
But what woke you up in general?
Okay, well, what woke me up was actually I came across a documentary called Zeitgeist, which I presume most people have seen, and it just talks about the monetary policy and things like that. And from there on, I just did some research, and I found more and more documentaries. I watched The Inside Job, which I thought was great. There's a good documentary called Money is Debt, which is basically an animated series going into how the monetary policy takes place and how money was created. And it's just a topic that I think is so bloody interesting. How come no one is really covering, other than you, of course, and so that, why is it not well known? So anyways, there's a lot of information there, but Zeitgeist was the one that kind of awakened me, that started the whole process.
Yeah, I am quite a believer that if you don't know about the system, the best way to wake up is to watch a good documentary film that discusses and exposes the reality of the current system that we reside in. Whereas if I was to just, you know, approach somebody at a party or anything like that and started talking about how the UN was set up by Nazi party aficionados and what have you, they just go, switch off right away. But I find it's when people have sort of respect for documentaries to a degree, like they'll sit there and they'll watch them unless it's ridiculously offensive to them to turn it off, right? And I don't really have the intention of waking people up, Ralph. You know, I figure.
Well, I figure the thing is unless you're that type of personality that sort of looks at the world with a fine eye, you're just gonna overlook things. But I mean, like, all sorts of people are awakening to this sort of thing. I mean, some of my favorite bands, for example, are huge activists in this. Awakening bands like Radiohead and Massive Attack, you know, they do their bit to sort of try and talk to people about this. But it's kind of taboo. A lot of people, like, generally when you talk to them about it, their first response is basically, I don't understand why how could this happen? And then it only takes a moment to realize that, you know, you look throughout history and then go, well, actually, it's very plausible that this sort of thing can happen and people like this can exist. But on the offside as well. I mean, these people like us, the truth seekers, that talk about peace and talk about things like that. So I mean, it's basically like Star Wars, isn't it? The good versus evil. And
Where do you think Star Wars came up with the idea? You know,
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's all put in front of us, and it's in a lot of music as well. And I find that the New World Order doesn't want people to be creative. Ergo, the solution to fighting them is to be as creative as you possibly can.
Well, it's interesting. Like you say, you know, they don't want people to be creative. So you get this sort of music that's almost conditioned on the radio, right? You get these artists that is all about hip-hop, and it's all about idolizing money. And really, I mean, is that really what music is all about? And why is it that for some reason they want us to believe that everyone in different countries like the same sort of music? Or is it a propaganda of some sort? I don't know. That's my perspective on it.
Well, I find when somebody's together in a mass and they're all singing the same words from the same song sheet or whatever, the thing that comes to mind is mass mind control. And that's not entirely dissimilar from everybody being separate at home, being programmed by the same box in the corner of the room. They are all separate, and yet they're all together absorbing the exact same brainwashing, mind-manipulating disinformation that would choose to basically distort reality and tell them a false version so that they would actually fight to defend it.
Hmm. Oh, you have a beautiful way of words there, Vinny. I absolutely agree, yeah.
Now, being an artist, I'm acting under the assumption that you're finding it difficult to have mainstream record companies try and support you.
Oh, this guy's talking about real stuff. He's not talking about diamonds in my grill. Come get your fill. I commit crime all the time. You know that.
Well, I've actually had experience with record labels. I won't say who, but it's very interesting. You see, because once you've put into the mainstream sort of ideology that they want you to be in, they start doing things like, all right, well, that could work, but we want your music or your message to be this. We want it to be a bit different. Or that's not going to have mass appeal, whatever you're saying. So we kind of need to go down this path a little bit. You know, I mean, I can't say who, but I've had that experience. And that's basically, it's like if you want to make it, if you want to make it big, you kind of have to sell your soul a little bit. And for me, I'm petrified about that idea, really. I mean, for me, I consider myself an artist in the industry rather than an industry artist, which basically means I don't want to be conditioned and have my message portrayed this way. I'm an artist, so I want to talk about this. But you got to do it in a sort of – you can't be too – what do you call it?
You can't be too blunt about it.
You can't really, because then you do lose some audience. You do alienate people if you are too blunt about it. So that's, I think, what we were saying before is your efforts are. I'm not trying to awaken everybody, but I'm trying to like link up with like-minded people so we can figure out a way to get ourselves out of this. The best way to do is for me how I can portray myself and express myself is through music, and so that's why I do music, and that's why I love shows like yours, because we're pretty much on the same page, I think.
Well, we talked about this the sort of whole thing about the industry. You either need to sell out or you're not going to make it big. I agree with that to a degree. And there's the other wild card here, which is creativity. Now, entrepreneurs, for example, are the kind of people who have such a grand idea that morons can't understand it. Ergo, that entrepreneur has to actually create everything to make that idea a reality. They have to create their own media platforms. They have to create their own marketing campaigns. They have to create their own teams, their own websites. They really have to do everything that
that the mainstream media and all the mainstream musical establishments already have and provide from scratch in order to be successful. And it's such hard work. It's the work of hundreds of people, thousands and of hours, that most people who are creative simply do not have the time, the resources, or the money to do it. And that's how the industry keeps people down.
Absolutely. I mean, I totally agree. It's like a different numbers in your armies, isn't there? You know, I've seen the behind the scenes of what makes a huge act what they are. I mean, there's hundreds of people behind them that work 9 to 5, that sort of market them and things like that. And so obviously they're going to do a lot better than a true artist, an independent, working on their own. And it's basically, it's like that 1 versus 300, isn't it? So it is a tough battle, but, you know, there's always going to be resistance. And the beauty about internet is your message does spread faster, because you can share those ideas more easily and it's more accessible. So it's a tough fight, but I think it's a good fight to fight.
Now, do you have another song for us?
I do indeed. This next song is called Friendly Fire. This is available on iTunes, and again, you can the link is on our website, thisflighttonight.com. And it goes like this.
So finally, demand no paucity, bringing in ear along, shot by friendly gun. I'll be alright, but it won't be tonight. I make believe it in my mind, reel back that part of me with time. I heard the animal projection and the final breath released. We joined the many losses of time and know the trouble and affection. Trouble when you are the loaded gun. Is this what you do for fun? Overthrown, naive, dress of one, thrown away. Ooh. I heard the animal projection in the final breath released. We join the many losses of time and know the trouble and affection. Trouble when you are the loaded gun. Is this what you do for fun? Save yourself, little pieces, pieces, dress of one. Oh, thrown away.
Yeah. Woohoo. Yep.
Thank you.
Golf clap.
Fantastic.
Wasn't the golf clap kind of like this?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you can hear that. Yeah.
I really enjoyed
it. Yeah. It's and you're really good. And this is what I find interesting about anti-New World Order musicians, is they're usually the most talented out of the entire musical industry. And if you were a sane, reasonable person, you wouldn't understand why they don't get all the way up to the top and have huge followings. But if you're a psychopath, on the other hand, there's no such qualms of misunderstanding. It's like, they're decent people, we can't allow them.
Thanks, Vinny. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And in your experience, have you got any words of wisdom for other would-be artists out there about, you know, maybe some of the pitfalls or some things that they should be watching out for, or even some positive advice about what they should be doing, what they should be focusing their time and their energy on?
Absolutely. I mean, my advice is really to stay true to yourself, stay true to your message, and that know that even though the record industry and music industry is changing, there was music before an industry, meaning that you can do it on your own if you want. There is technology, there is websites now for distribution and things like that, how to make your own websites. It's easy to get things on iTunes, for example. How to get your own videos out there. There's no more gatekeepers to the media outlets. You know, you're not. TV is dead for me, I think. So, you know, you've got YouTube to get your message out there. Stay true to your message, and I think that's the best kind of art that I admire personally, is an honest, true message. So stay true to that.
Well, and that's also, incidentally, how you maintain cult followings. People who will absorb pretty much every single bit of material you can, because you do stay true. And that's the first reason why they started listening to you. It's the reason they kept listening to you. And it's the reason why they're going to stay listening to you, is because you do not deviate. We have one direction here. It is freedom. And if you love that message, if you love that music, if you like to hear it, if you do not want a world full of tyranny and darkness, this is where you will be most appropriately spending your time.
Absolutely. And know that you won't be alone in your cause as well. There's like-minded people out there. You know, there's a community that's supportive. And it's a good battle to fight, I think. And throughout the whole music history, you do have musical activists that speak the truth. And in the end, the evil does disappear because of it, because the message is out there.
Yeah, exactly. There's an old saying which pertains to a lot of things, but particularly evil. You can have a room full of darkness, gloom, light one candle, and the light will chase the darkness into the corners and it will skitter away. But you cannot do the reverse. You cannot walk into a room full of light and love and brightness and bring darkness in.
That's beautiful, Vinny. I love it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now, final words here. We're going to go to our next guest. Will be Susie from Occupy Auckland for a little bit of an update on there. You're welcome to stay on the call if you wish, Ralph. And once she's finished her wrap up, we can have a wee roundtable discussion for the last 30 minutes of this wee 2-hour show. So we have about maybe hour and 5 minutes left. So if you have any final words of wisdom, final statements, or even if you want to play another song, take it away.
Thanks, Vinny. I'd love the opportunity. Thank you, guys.
Okay. So, the industry itself, and I wanted to actually make a point here in terms of current events. I presume you've heard of Kim.com, the guy who made up Mega Upload, and what he was doing was he was creating a media platform for musicians and artists to upload their entire albums and sell them online. And he was negotiating with some very, very large artists, giving them the opportunity to make quantitatively more money off their sales than both the mainstream music industry and the online music industry platforms like iTunes. And it's my contention that because he threatened that that establishment music industry, they had to take him out. Do you feel in any way that might be the case, Ralph? Ralph, are you there? Apparently not. Okay. Looks like I'm all alone. Okay, well, I want to elaborate about this Kim.com thing because I think it's actually a very important story. 70 cops, 70, 7-0, descended on his house that is in the same electorate as our Prime Minister, John Key. Why did they need so many cops to arrest one guy when they could have just sent him a letter or asked him to come out? Well, my contention is they wanted to send a message to everybody else who would even think about it. Because we've got these new... and of course, the United States FBI was involved. Now, since when the United States agents from the FBI get to go to other countries and order our police around and impose their laws in our country? Moreover, why is that person not even charged with a crime and then denied bail because he's a flight risk and freeze all his bank accounts and confiscate all his property, still without charges, and then kick his wife, his pregnant wife and children, out on the street? This is something that has been weighing on my mind much more of late, because the paradigm seems to be changing for a lot of Kiwis. They're starting to see our government turn rogue, quite literally. And we have, in this country, I believe, a very, very scary situation where people will not stand up and say, hey, you can't hold me without charge. You can't just steal things from me. You can't just tell me to do things that are illegal. Okay, and that's what a lot of laws do. They just basically legalize things that would previously be illegal. And it's just that simple. And I'd like to, if the producer, JP, could you please bring up Susie from Occupy Auckland, if you can. Please give her a ring on this thingy here. We should be able to. Pardon, is that you?
Yeah, this is Jeremy. I'll raise her on that phone number that you gave me.
All right, excellent. Hopefully she'll be there to pick up. She's been with Occupy Auckland all this time, ever since it started. And the interesting thing, and this is the first time that this has ever happened for the global Occupy movement, is they're the first movement to actually receive written submissions by the Auckland Central Police District Commander in support of the Occupy movement, saying that it would be, well, more or less, I'm paraphrasing, unlawful to move protesters off of public land because they have rights to freedom of expression, freedom of assembly. And it would not be entirely above board for police to eject people who are engaged in such activities. Now, despite that fact, the local city council, and I was there during the evictions, got a horde of private security, literally a horde of them, to come on in and evict the protesters. And we seem to be trying to connect Susie at the moment. Sure hope she picks up. We'll find out. Here we go, well, you're holding on the phone to somebody and you really wanted to pick up that phone and...
Hello, this is Paulina speaking. We are not on this yet. Please send us a message.
Hello, this is Vinny Eastwood from the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on United We Strike Radio. Susie, you're supposed to have picked up the phone, but unfortunately we're leaving you a message instead, and all the people listening online get to enjoy this message that we're leaving you too. So thank you very much for not being there. And hopefully the producer can hang up the phone and we'll probably hope to catch you next time. Thank you very much, Vinny Eastwood, Mr. News. Okay, here we go. There's a nice little message for her. I'm sure she'll love that.
Okay, next.
Next. I have quite a few rantageous things to talk about here. Firstly, and I think me and Mike Chambers talked about this on the show earlier, but it does deserve reiteration. And Ralph, if you're still there, feel free to jump right in. New Zealand introduces $50,000 fine for drinking chamomile tea. Now, chamomile is a flower, and it has some very nice relaxing properties. And I used to have a little bit of trouble sleeping because I'm a I drink so much coffee that I had to come up with a new word for it. It's called a caffeined. You know, it's a mixture of caffeine and a fiend, basically. And I've found that when I can't sleep because my heart's pumping like a lab rat, cup of chamomile tea, boom, out like a light. And you really, really do get a good night's sleep. But of course, if I was to do that in future, $50,000 fine, possibly imprisonment. Oh, and why would they regulate something so benign? Here's why. They don't want you to have access to anything natural ever again. They want all the food to be GMOs. They want all the flavors to be artificial flavors. And this, I think, dovetails with the entire artificialization, if that's even a word, of the entirety of our society. Now, am I the only one who has noticed this? I think not. Everything seems to be synthesized, faked, and this goes for everything, whether it be the musicians, whether it be the food, whether that be the politicians, or whether that be the cars and all of the other various eclectic products that people use in their daily life. Artificializing everything so that it detaches people from the natural realm in every way, shape, and form seems to be a self-evident truth. It freaks me out to no end because I'm naturally upset by this, and I'm wondering if they'll find a way to make me artificially upset by this. Be interesting to see, and I wonder what kind of a person I'd turn into if I was no longer natural and real. You know, you'll want to oppose the Natural Health Products Bill. It is outrageous and luckily very easy to read. Let's try to bring it down. What's wrong with the NHP bill itself? This is a national Natural Health Products Bill, and it's also slanted with another thing that's coming in at the exact same time called the New Zealand Food Safety Bill. And they're both products of the International Food Code, known as Codex Alimentarius, which is being implemented globally through the United Nations in a very similar way to Agenda 21 being implemented. It makes it illegal, without a proper license, to prepare, share, or administer anything that isn't presented as food, that's made from plants, vitamins, minerals, or anything else natural, and may have any of the following material benefits. 1. The maintenance or promotion of health or wellness. 2. Nutritional support. 3. Vitamin or mineral supplementation. 4. Affecting or maintaining the structure or function of the body. 5. Effective treatment of any self-diagnosed or self-managed condition. Now, would you like me to read that again? I'm going to read that again. The following things will basically, you will not be able to do them unless you have a license. Okay? Maintaining or promoting health or wellness. Supporting your nutrition. Having vitamins or minerals supplemented, affecting or maintaining the structure or function of the body, or effective treatment of any self-diagnosed or self-managed condition. So basically, if you're smart enough to realize that there's something wrong with you and you know how to fix it by using anything that's grown in your backyard, well, it doesn't matter whether it's grass. You know how nutritional grass is for you? And people mow it instead of eating it? It's quite interesting. And people starve to death when they're surrounded by grass, which is one of the most nutritional foods on earth. No kidding. You know what makes the grass green? Vitamins and minerals. Beautiful stuff. Hmm? How do you think horses and cows get so fracking massive? How do you think they manage to maintain all that huge body weight and bulk and muscle? It's because they are eating something that is incredibly high in protein. Make no mistake, the answers to your health woes are literally all around you. And what the UN's agenda is, well, the globalist, the scumbaggery elite, I'll coin the phrase now, the scumbaggery elite.
Yes, and it needs to be said with a whisper, so it connotes very scary type people that will come and sacrifice your children to the dark gods.
Hey, I think that was a really good Voldemort impression. You'll be liable for a $50,000 fine for doing any of those things I mentioned previously. Even for yourself, not even if you're not doing it for somebody else, just you. No more homegrown chamomile tea to make you sleep better. No more practicing the traditional Maori medicine without a government ticket. And that was outlawed long ago with the Taonga Suppression Act. And Maori medicine was used very, very widely. And as soon as the government made it illegal, people stopped practicing it. And as a result, directly, but not isolatedly and not the only reason, but Maori's health began to deteriorate substantially. And now they're some of the least healthy minorities in the entire country. And it's no surprise to me, of course, because when you take away people's ability to keep themselves healthy, keep themselves regulated, illness is the only likely result. Is it not? And you can have those government tickets and permissions and whatever, but because it's a permission and not a right, and this is the difference here, they can revoke it. Permission can be taken away, and you won't have any ability to do that for yourself. This is the main concern that I have with this type of legislation, is because it does not account for humans' ability to provide for themselves. And ultimately, it comes down to monopolization of healthcare, food, and all things that are basically worth living for. That's what these people want. They're psychos who want absolute, complete domination of all life on Earth. And in order to dominate all life on Earth, you need to dominate all elements within your life on Earth that make it a livable thing. And that's basically what we have here. Not just the natural health products, but food, any kind of medicine. Goodness knows, they might outlaw chiropractic or anything. Goodness knows. We had a conversation with one of the prominent climate deniers, Dr. Tim Ball, once, and he said, oh, well, they can't tax the clouds. And I say, don't bet on it. You know, if anything government's good at, it's creating new forms of taxes that don't sound rational in any way, shape, or form. Isn't it? Now, there will also be no more homemade manuka oil to put on your cuts. And interestingly enough, manuka honey has found to have anti-carcinogenic, antibacterial and antiviral properties, to the point where it's actually virtually a cancer cure. New Zealand manuka honey, and I only just learned this the other day through Natural News. And as it turns out, my uncle Malcolm, who lives up north, I did a bit of work on his beekeeping farm here. He produces a heck of a lot of manuka honey. And he was the first person to pioneer sending queen bees out to other locations around the world. We had these little cages for them, kind of thing. You could fit a queen bee and a few workers in there, and a chunk of like nice sort of sugary mixture that you put in one compartment, so they got something to eat while they're in transit, sort of thing. And what's happening here is essentially anybody can keep bees, so. Therefore, you've got to make sure that nobody can keep bees. This is the psychopathic mindset I keep referring to. No more using your granny's remedies from the herb garden. Now, I found something that was very interesting. A friend of mine Mikhail, he had a Mickey as toothache, and in New Zealand we use an expression called tumeke, T-U-M-E-K-E. It means too much. And what's happened was he had the worst toothache he ever had in his life. All he did was grab some garlic, a clove of garlic, and rubbed it directly onto his gums. And it went away, and it didn't come back. This is the strength and power of herbs. Now, other than that, he could have gone to see a dentist and been charged $100 or something and then pulled the tooth, and he would have been left with a big gap in his mouth. This is how mainstream medicine works as well. You've got something that's a problem or what have you, they'll just cut it off, you know. Oh, your leg's gangrenous, let's cut it off. You've got a tumor in your brain, let's cut it off. And I'm not kidding. That's how mad doctors are. They will literally saw half of your skull off to get a tumor, because they don't know that if you simply apply cannabis resin to those tumors, they go away, right? All of these natural health remedies and everything, the reason why they are drafting specific legislation to outlaw them, and that's what making these things into a permissible activity with a government license really is, it's essentially outlawing it. Because the power to give a license is the power to take it away, right? Just like the power to tax is the power to destroy. And of course, everybody around the world would comprehend that taxation is rising faster than a hot air balloon. It's unbelievable. It's inextricable. There's like hundreds of forms of new taxes. The national government in New Zealand has passed like 2 laws a day. A day, on average, since they've gotten to office. Where is the justification for that kind of amount of legislation? Right now people don't get it to a degree. I'm not sure why they don't get it. That there's no crisis, there's no problems. Everything's actually running sweet. Therefore, we need to pass emergency legislation daily in order to correct problems which nobody knows about and for all intents and purposes doesn't exist. Again, if you're a psycho, this would all make perfect sense to you. Now, none of this without permission, fees and rules, would you be able to practice any of these natural health remedies. Or you could face massive fines and possibly jail. Now, does this sound familiar? You may not actually do these things, but you may wish to retain the right to do so. These people are taking away your rights. Just remember, whenever you lose your rights, it's usually because you don't know your rights. And if you don't stand up for them, you lose them virtually indefinitely. And it can be very difficult, and sometimes even at the barrel of a gun and having your children see war with their own eyes, before you can get it back. This is why it is so important for people to be discussing this. Mainstream media won't be talking about this, not in the way that I will anyway, because I'm not censored. And also, unlike mainstream media, I'm not completely moronic. I'm not just waiting for my next user pays trip to Tahiti ticket. I'm not waiting for my next Gucci handbag. I'm waiting on the world to change, because basically, you really do have to take an active interest in the world if you want to see it change in a positive way. That's my belief anyway. You really have to jump in, head first, if necessary, in order to really facilitate things that are positive that you want to make happen. Never, under any circumstances, should people discredit or try to poo-poo the power that a small group of determined individuals can have. And this is funny because a lot of truthers, they say, oh, well, people won't wake up. People are too stupid. We're all going to be exterminated. I'm just going to go into the backwoods of Montana with my guns and my Snuggie full of 8 years of dried food and my blue shields and my smoky quartz crystals. And I'm going to survive this, and everybody else can die. Everybody is going to die. It's all too late. That's a slave mentality. Everything's screwed, okay, so therefore I'm not going to bother trying to unscrew it. Slave mentality. Nobody's smart enough to get it, therefore I'm not going to try and wake anybody up. Slave mentality. This is talking about everybody else as opposed to thinking about yourself and what part you play in the world around you. People are afraid of their power, and so they should be. I fear whatever power I have, and that's why I surround myself, and all my friends are, the top activists in the world and this country specifically, not just because they give me good information, all of that kind of stuff. I'm actually a very selfish person, and what I'm doing, and this includes all the people that have been on United We Strike or on my radio show or anything, I am using them for myself. Here's the reason I'm using them. Because if I were to, heaven forbid, turn into some form of douchebag, they would pull me up on it, stop me from becoming a monster, cap me off at the knees. For if I were to become evil, if I were to sell out to the New World Order, if I were to start working for the enemy, I have the presence of mind to set up a system whereby I will be taken out of the picture before I can do too much damage. That's what I'm using all these people for. That's what I need to do in order to ensure that I do not turn into some kind of scumbag, and if I do, I won't be able to cause enough damage to benefit said New World Order. Continuing on with the article, and I think everybody should probably try and do that, you know, make friends with people who help to keep you in check kind of thing. I think it's a pretty bright idea, even if I do say so myself. Now, don't take my word for all of this, though, of course. Read the bill. It's very easy to read, unlike the food bill. I was talking to Nicola Grace from Health Freedom New Zealand, and she was telling me that she got up at 5 a.m., started reading this stuff, and she gave me a call at 7 p.m. when she'd finished with it. Okay, to give me, and she'd not, in fact, she'd not even finished with it. This is how hugely draconian and crazy these laws all are. It's very scary. I feel quite, menaced to a degree. That's why I don't read legislation. That's why I let other people read it and then just come and just tell me the stuff that's actually relevant. Now, it's easy to get your hands on if you go to legislation.gov/bill/government/2011/0324/latest/whole.html, and I'll put the links on the archive to this show just in case you want to know. And if all else fails, go to beforeitsnews.com and search for New Zealand introduces $50,000 fine for drinking chamomile tea. So New Zealand, $50,000 chamomile tea. That should probably come up with the decent search results, so they've got the link posted here for you. Now, it's the same intent as the phone bill, this Natural Products Suppression Act, basically. And the government wishes to own what goes into you. They want to own everything and thus own you like a slave, right? You're a piece of property. They say it's all for your safety, of course. Now, do you still believe that? Do you know what the Jews were told when they were being hustled into trucks and cattle cars bound for concentration camps? They were told that it was for their safety, that the country had become dangerous, a dangerous place. And that in order to save themselves, in order to keep their families safe, they had to go to extermination camps. They didn't call them extermination camps, of course. They called them something nice. Like a nice nature preserve. Or something beautiful like that. A really nice place where your children can play behind barbed wire, safe from everything. And I saw a very good picture today where they had a family sitting in a jail cell, sitting around a table. And the mother says, "Man, I feel much safer." Father says, "I think so too. I think we're much, much safer inside here." Safety does not equal freedom. I prefer the risk because then I at least have some freedom. If I was, unfortunately, in some way, shape, or form, draped into bondage and eternal darkness and scumbaggery, I would fight and preferably die rather than accept such a program. This is not, anything radical. Many people throughout history have had this exact same mindset. Give me liberty or give me death. Because if you do not have liberty, then death will certainly follow closely in tyranny's footsteps. People do need to take an active role in their government. People do need to take an active role in the lives of themselves. Take personal responsibility. It's only through the advent of people being responsible for their actions that they actually have any power. What socialism and what essentially the government and the world scumbaggery elite have planned for us is to take away all of our responsibilities. And so people will hence become completely and utterly irresponsible. That's their agenda. They do not want people to be able to think for themselves. They do not want people to be standing up for themselves, standing up for truth, justice, and whatever way, whether that be American, Kiwi, or whatever. We've all got our own national identities, which are now being diluted to no end through progressive internationalist legislation that has absolutely no intent of improving our lives, no intent of making anything better, only to make things worse while telling people that they're trying to make it better. You see what I'm saying? You have no choice. They do not care about you. They never have, and conceivably, never will. Why? Because they do not have the human condition like you or I do. It's psychopathy, pure and simple. A very, very dark consciousness that is full of malice, cruelty, and scumbaggery. Very simple. And people have to stop being naive. I remember when I was naive, I told a police officer, yes, I've been dealing drugs for 8 months. Yes, I sold it to people. Yes, I sold this much amount per week. And they still lied to the judge and made up evidence. You know, I was going to go to jail for up to 8 years for possession of 13 grams of cannabis. The person in front of me was up for sexual assault, evading arrest, and cannabis cultivation. He got 150 hours community service. Myself, with full admission of guilt, and even providing them evidence against myself, got 300 hours of community service. And I would have gone to jail for a first offence had my lawyer not noted that the police had not advised me of my right to remain silent before taking my incriminating statement. It's those kind of experiences, and this is the unfortunate thing about living in this world today, is that you often have to have a very, very nasty experience before you will wake up and suddenly realize that the world is not a very nice, good place run by good, decent people like you. It is, in fact, a very, very nasty place run by even nastier individuals. But that doesn't change the fact that the vast majority of people are good people. It just means that the very small minority of what Karen Quinn Tostado calls the dips, the dominant inbred psychopaths, it means that those small amount of people hold inordinate amounts of influence and power over your life. And they have for quite some time, conceivably since the beginning of human history. And this is what people really need to, you know, don't you get it? You know, when I talk about these sorts of things, many people will switch off and just go, oh, the government would never do that. It's like, well, mate, they have. And they will continue to do it, okay? Have a look at all the exterminations of populations that have happened throughout history. The bulk of them have been committed on people by their own governments. Take a look at China. 60 million Chinese. 60 million! Can you even fathom that amount of people? I can look at a football stadium in New Zealand, like during the Rugby World Cup here, packed stadium, and that's only 80,000. Okay? It's a substantial amount of people that have been exterminated throughout time. And you know what ties all of those exterminated populations together, other than having a tyrannical dictator leading the country down a dark, dark road? Gun ban legislation. Yeah, seriously, look into it. Have a look at all the bad, bad genocide stories, whether it be Pol Pot's Cambodia, Chairman Mao's China, or anything. You know, doesn't matter whether you're the 7 million plus Ukrainians who were starved to death by the Russian military, whether you are the 6 million Jews and 5 million other ethnic groups that were exterminated under Nazi Germany. Every single one of those groups of people were exterminated after having all their guns taken off them. This is our future, and we can change it if we choose to. Now, allegedly there's some breaking news making history. Karen Quintestado is just putting me in here. Or is Rick there as well? I mean, maybe we should bring them in and try to make them part of this little broadcast here, if it is breaking news and whatever. But finishing up with what I was saying before, I had an interview with what was his name? Constitutionally, you have a Second Amendment in the United States. Not many countries have a Second Amendment like that. And it's when the government tries to take that away from you, that's when you know that you got to make some very big changes. Some very big changes. In the way that you participate in the democratic process, right? Because, for goodness sake, these people are very scary. And there is no good example that you can point to in history where people have banned guns and something good has come from it. It just doesn't happen. And of course, right now, Barack Obama and the various other administrations, in fact, this has been happening the whole way through. It matters not whether or not that it's the right or the left or what have you. They've all been passing progressive gun ban legislation. So accept what you know. Once they ban guns, they're planning to exterminate you. And when everybody in the country has guns, they can't exterminate you. That's the lesson from all of this. And in New Zealand, I think that we have a lot of guns in this country. So if the government does turn tyrannical, we will have the capacity to overthrow or abolish it. Or at least that's what I hope so, because most of the gun owners that I've heard of never, ever, ever want to use them to harm people, and they will have to be forced by the government in order to do that. Now, Rick has joined us now. Rick, welcome to the program. I believe. Rick, are you there? Apparently not. All right. Never mind. I wanted to also touch on another topic here. Oh, wait, hold on. Rick, are you there now?
I wanted to also touch on...
Somebody's playing a feed in the background there. I think it's Karen. Yeah, Karen, you're feeding back there.
Wait, I got to close my window. Do you see all these chat rooms?
Yeah. It's cold in here. Close the windows.
Oh, there it is.
And they go ding, 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 ding. All right.
So do you see what he did? It's amazing, isn't it?
No, I can't see it because my browser crashed when I tried to open it. So can you tell me?
It's about six chat rooms all on one page. It's all of our chat rooms. I came up with the idea of having a chat coalition. I don't know if everybody's browser can cope with it, though. Sounds possibly not, so we might have to revisit that one.
It's amazing. Well, Vinny,
maybe while I'm doing webcam live radio recording and have a second computer running off my internet connection next to me who's recording the live stream, I can't open it. But
that could be it. Yeah, that could be it too.
Maybe for the. But well, you know, maybe for those out there who aren't doing what I'm doing right at this particular moment, you can. So go for your life.
Well, it's got Charlie's on there. He's got Mike Chambers' chat room. Your chat room is on there. He's got the United We Strike chat room, the Wolf Spirit chat room, and Hal Anthony's chat room. And it's pretty amazing. Once you're signed into one, you're signed into all of them. So he's helping us go totally crazy. Not like we don't have enough Skype calls. Now we have 6 chats on 1 page, all active.
Right. That is a lot of chatting.
It certainly is. So, all right, Vinny.
That actually is quite a brilliant idea because I noticed that the United We Strike chat room had few people in it, and then other times when we've done the broadcast, I've been going to other people's chat rooms, like Charlie McGrath's, and his chat room was much smaller than it normally is. It's normally got like 120, 140 plus people in it, that kind of thing. So this is a good idea of getting all those people together in the same room. So people can be like, I don't know, have you ever seen that episode of The Simpsons where they go to Australia and instead of, you know, following the plane or whatever, the camera just goes straight through the middle of the earth, and in the middle of the earth there's Shiva, you know, with like about 8 hands going, whew, you know, kind of thing, just working the levers. That's basically what's going on here in this new chat room.
Well, and it's just keeping you so busy because... You can kind of pop back and forth in all of them, and they're all live, and the people in their original chat rooms don't know yet what's going on.
Hey, well, what you should do is post the link to the multi-chat room into each and every single one of those little chat boxes so all the people can leave their one chat room and come to, like, the multiplicity multitude of them. Yeah.
That's what we're doing. We're fishing. Online fishing.
Reel them in, Karen.
Trying there, and Rick's giving us all kinds of tools. Brilliant idea there, Rick.
Yeah. But don't worry. If you're going to join the chat room after we reel you in, we're not going to gut you and then later cook you on the barbecue. Or at least at least I won't. I don't know about the CIA and the NSA people who are also watching this chat room with great interest.
Well, not to mention we're all being EMF'd, IMF'd, MF'd globally. So
you sound really tired, Karen.
Can you tell? I am fried. Yeah. But now I've got like 6 chats I'm playing in aside from the Skype room. And when I listen to the rest of your program, because it's always fun, and then I'm out for the count until a new debut tomorrow morning in India with Dr. Leo Ribello, who is an author of over 47 books. He's a peace activist, and I'm really excited. We're adding another country tomorrow, Vinny.
Oh, that's very good. And also, I was wanting to ask something as well. My girlfriend, this is her only day off, and she's very, very upset that I'm on the radio today because she can hear me through the walls and what have you. So I would like to be able to reschedule my appearances on the show with Mike Chambers and Charlie McGrath and the Kiwi guests and whatever to perhaps either the day before or perhaps the day after so that she can have her day off, you know, kind of thing. It's her only day off she gets every week.
I understand that one. All right, well, we'll work around that, and we'll see what we can do so that next month everyone will be happy. And
excellent. All right, well, I promised her that I'd ask. Otherwise, I would get hurt in more ways than one.
So she must be standing behind you with a shotgun so you can ask me, like, right here in the program, right?
No. She just kind of told me before I got on the show today. We got upset and we had a little bit of a fight over it. And she told me to cancel it. And I was just like, well, Sarah, I've had this up for like, this organized for like nearly a month or something like that. I can't just go up and cancel it. No notice. So she's okay with it for me doing this just kind of this one last time sort of thing. And kind of the creative solution of just going, hey, the United We Strike broadcast goes for 3 days. Why do I have to be on the one day when I'm not supposed to be on?
There you go. We'll work with you, Vinny. I understand. I've done all this from living in an RV, a 38-by-8-foot RV. Now, it's a nice RV, but it doesn't have any slides. It does have a very cool little round oak table, and I can sit here with my laptop, and I look out over a beautiful view. But it's really small, and the kitchen is right behind me, and my husband has been a saint. Of course, he's a bit more descriptive when he explains the kind of saint he is. But it is a sacrifice on our loved ones when we are this committed to doing something. And I understand, and I'll do everything I can to see. We'll talk to the other hosts and guests and see what we can come up with next month. Because if we're not happy at home, none of this is really worth it, so it's important for all of us, I think, to remember that.
Yeah, and you're right, Karen, and the word sacrifice is something that, as a truther, as somebody who's a patriot who wants to work in this industry, finds it very difficult financially to survive. The burden is not only on you, the patriot and the person doing it, but it is actually the burden is felt mostly by those around you whom are closest to you. And sometimes you do really have to be cognizant of that fact, that it is not just you fighting the New World Order. It is not just you that is sacrificing your time. You are arbitrarily sacrificing everybody else's at the same time. And often they are very understanding, and you owe them a lot, essentially, for their patience and sacrifice.
Yeah, it is. It's a challenge, but, you know, I think that we're in this because we really believe that we can make a difference, and the only way that we can do that is to help educate people. And so it's, especially when we have a solution, you know, strikes and boycotts are so effective. And when we finally can stop fighting with each other and start aligning, that's the whole idea behind the peace train. And this chat coalition is really great. Here are more people on the same page. And just learned from JP before you came on that next month it's going to be the 15th is the Ides of March. So we'll definitely work something out, Vinny, to have you and your message and your voice and make it just as comfortable for you and your partner, your wife, your girlfriend as possible. All three or one of the above.
Yeah, well, I like this coalition chat idea, and it's kind of like, I presume it's really relaxed in there. It's like the coalition of the chillin'.
Well, it's probably better than the coalition of the willing.
Don't you mean the coalition of the killing?
Yeah, something like that.
Or the coalition of the blood spilling. And of course, when you talk about the major corporate banks, they're the coalition of the billing.
Vinny, we've got somebody else who'd like to meet you. Also,
really?
We have Tracy from Wolf Spirit Radio. Yes, Tracy would like to come in and say hello to you. She's also one of our new producers. We've got a great international producing team all over the world.
All right. Well, bring her on in then. Because this is very similar to the way I run my show. There's only two rules. One of them is imposed on us by the government, of course. It's called FCC regulations. So you can't say the F word, you have to say fracking. And you can't say the S word, you have to say Shiite Muslim. And the other side, and the other rule, of course, is imposed on us by the tyrannical studio owner, Danny Romero at AmericanFreedomRadio.com, which is to have fun. Because if you're having fun, the audience is having fun, and it's all better for everybody. And what I like here about the United We Strike peace train is that we all have to choose to work together and choose peace and chew up the New World Order like they're a bunch of chewing gum.
There you go. Well, Tracy is here, I think, lurking in the background. Tracy.
Hi, how you doing?
Real fabulous now that you're here, Trace. What's up?
Well, I would just like to add to what you said. You know, scientists have discovered electrons and neutrons and protons, but we still only hire morons to govern us. What's up with that?
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And the thing about morons is, like atoms, they're mostly empty space.
Wait, there is no empty space. If you look at quantum physics now, it tells you there is no empty space. It's the sea around us that we must learn how to vibe our part better. We have to make our little ingredient of this soup better in our own pot and stop stewing in our own pot and start smoking it so that we stop fighting each other and healing the world. Let's grow the hemp. Let's have a good time. Folks, this is the late night hours. I've been up for a long time today.
Well, you know that when Karen Quinn Tostado starts talking about pot and smoking it on the United We Strike broadcast, that the 11th hour has arrived indeed.
Yeah, the day.
What time is it over there, Karen?
It's actually only 9:42, but you got to count about 4 hours of sleep last night after one of the long marathons. So this is day two, and remember, I think that was good from JP in the background, the stage manager, you know, popping in all the Skype windows and stuff and finding out, oh no, who forgot what? Oh, let me get that number over here. And then there's always somebody that says, Karen, can you have a Skype call with me? So I'm doing all kinds of things behind the scenes, and it's always fun, but it gets to be about this time at night. And anyway, I want to say Rick Simpson advocates hemp oil. I think hemp oil is very good, and also I think people should be able to smoke marijuana, and so there.
Well, yeah, and on the marijuana point, if you search Bob Melamede, M-E-L-A-M-E-D-E, there is some breaking news at his website there. Where they had a guy with these tumors on his head, like fist-sized, at least two or three of them coming out of his head. They were lesions. They were absolutely horrific, horrendous-looking things growing out of his head, out of his skull, right? And they just applied some hemp oil to it again and again and again. They shrank, disappeared. And beautiful, soft-looking baby skin grew over and healed over them. This has only happened within the last 2 weeks, and wow. They've got all the screenshots of it and everything like that of this guy's head going from basically mainstream medicine's solution was to cut off half his skull.
Yeah, that's about right.
And then, that'll never work. And then I show them the pictures, and these doctors are like, okay. See, it's like, we've got photographic evidence, you scumbag. Now shush and start promoting hemp oil. Hemp oil for cancer. All day, every day. Rub it on that stuff. Rub a dub dub. And you'll get that cancer gone. Gone, I tells you. But,
no, they'd rather remove half your head and your wallet, including your children's future.
Yeah, yeah. And also Bob Melamede talks about how cannabinoids, endocannabinoids, in other words, cannabinoids are like the active ingredient in pot, basically. And he says that human beings actually have a system of endocannabinoids, in other words, cannabinoids from within, and he's found out the function of these things is to regulate absolutely every single function of the body. Everything. How your eyes are built, how your skin regrows, how your immune system reacts to viruses, everything. is regulated by these endocannabinoids. And what he's determined is that these dips, as you so call them, Karen, the dominant inbred psychopaths, Bob Millamede has defined the paradigm as the battle between the the blips and flips, backward-looking people and forward-looking people. Forward-looking people, he's seen as having an abundance of endocannabinoid activity, which is capable of regulating, allowing the body to evolve and blossom and grow, and thus with the mind as well. And he says that the blips, the backward-looking people, are specifically cannabinoid deficient, and they are essentially unevolved.
Wow! So that's very cool. Oh, but it reminds me too when you did your intro, you said the fabulous and the unfabulous, and I wanted to let you know there's also, like myself, the flabulous.
Yep.
Sorry, I am getting
funny. I've learned in those moments not to say a word.
You can't win on that, really.
Nope.
So it's like, what's the best response that I can have here without my head being taken off at a later point? Ah, that's right. Silence. Silence is golden. After all, it's relatively difficult for somebody to demonize you and get angry with you for something you haven't said. But then again, it happens all the time anyway if you happen to have mainstream media get some kind of a hemp on their back towards you. Say, oh, this guy's not saying anything. Let's demonize him. Let's have massive amounts of headlines making him the most scary individual ever. You know, like Osama bin Laden hadn't done nothing for years. And then all of a sudden he's all over the media. Oh, he orchestrated this giant massive attack on U.S. soil from a cave with a laptop and a USB headset too. You know? What was it? You know, is that what he was doing to pass the time when he was sitting on his hospital bed in the CIA protected American hospital in Saudi Arabia getting kidney dialysis?
That's why we're all terrorists, then, isn't it? Because we've all got laptops, we've all got USB ports, and this is it. This is what it is.
It's amazing the amount of terrorist attacks you can spawn just by using Facebook, you know? That's why I've decided to call it Facebook, you know, and it has to be pronounced correctly, Facebook, because that's essentially what it is. Created by DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, which are essentially the people who develop military intelligence programs that send feeder tentacles, data mining, development of new technologies, things of that nature, run through and around the CIA to a degree. So that's what Facebook has become, is essentially the world's largest data mining center for people's normal, everyday social activity, and which is interesting because it's backfiring on them majorly. Because guess where I saw the information about DARPA creating Facebook? On Facebook. You know, and this is the arrogance of the New World Order and the dominant inbred psychopaths, because they create these weapons without foreknowledge that they would wind up being used against them to expose them and destroy them and set humanity free. It's a thing with technology. It can either be used for good or for bad. Technology is inherently not a bad thing at all in any way, shape, or the form. I mean, even nuclear weapons, I presume, could probably find some decent use for them. Even terraforming. A documentary made by the BBC where they were thinking about terraforming Mars by shooting a large amount of nuclear warheads at its north pole, and that would create what we'll call a massive heat blast that would melt the poles there and actually spread water throughout the planet by vapor and actually begin to form another atmosphere.
What about the radiation?
Well, we're all bathing in it right now, aren't we? And, of course, people don't care about radiation. And I was thinking about getting a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb.
Well, you're already radioactive.
Well, I am active on the radio, and I'm radioactive and various other things of that nature. So, you know, it's like, well, everybody is afraid of radiation, but the reality is radiation's actually not that bad. You can get rid of it using a lot of natural products, which will soon be made illegal, and if you use them, you'll have a $50,000 fine.
Just back to the hemp.
Yeah. Oh, and actually, yes, cannabis oil and cannabis itself can be used to treat radiation poisoning.
Yes, very much so. Rick Simpson and indeed, has been bringing that out.
And indeed, planting hemp on fields that are radioactive gets the radiation out of the soil and eliminates it too. So I was thinking, what a brilliant idea for Chernobyl. Chernobyl in the Ukraine was some of the most fertile land in the Soviet Union at that time. And now there is only one plant that grows near Chernobyl. Can you guess what it is?
Pot.
The ginkgo tree. The ginkgo tree is one of the most radiation transmuting plants that has ever been discovered. It has amazing health properties and is the only thing that can survive nuclear fallout. Interesting, huh? And of course, this gives rise to my idea that, hey, what you can do is you can take all these places that are that have since become radioactive and crappy and what have you, and just plant copious quantities of weed everywhere, more than anybody could ever smoke, more than anybody could ever harvest. Just do it there as a radiation restoration project, okay? Whether it be the government doing it or private parties or whatever. The idea isn't to profit off it, and it doesn't cost you that much to grow weed because it grows like a weed, okay? You just toss it in the ground and it starts growing, okay? Not exactly something that's very difficult. You just do one massive airdrop or something like that, like the Marshall Plan or something. And then all of a sudden, you've got weed growing all over the place, siphoning that radiation out, turning it into inert nothingness. And suddenly, all the Ukrainians who had to move out, who had radioactive soils where they were planting, where the government said it was safe, can now rest easy. That would seem like a really good humanitarian mission. And there's so many things that you can do with marijuana for humanitarian reasons that it just has to be made illegal. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Even the hemp, though, when you're growing it, they can use that to make cars. They make plaster and walls. You can build damn near anything from the hemp plant. It truly is a miraculous plant that we should be able to take advantage of. And it does open up the pineal gland. It helps to decalcify the pineal gland. Mm. And with all the fluoride and everything, it's a good thing to counteract that. So, of course, they don't want people to wake up. They don't want us to know about our rights, our heritage, or our individual sovereignty. But we are learning, and this is the year.
Yeah, and many people have been saying for a long time that 2012, as you just said, Karen, is the year. And it reminds me of when I had Lindsay Williams, Pastor Lindsay Williams, on my show. Incredible interview, and I recommend everybody just Google Lindsay Williams, Vinny Eastwood. Should come up with the archive for you. And he said, and this is coming directly from the mouths of the elite, who he's still in contact with, that in 2012 it will be the most shocking and startling year that anybody will ever see. That private property itself will be seized en masse. All these foreclosures and everything like that that we've been seeing are just the beginning. They basically, in this year, want to abolish private property, more or less. And if you have a farm and you want to pay your land taxes or land rates or what have you, as we were talking with Evelyn Gilbert about earlier, you need to have, according to Lindsay Williams, up to 3 years worth of gold and silver to pay off those rates. Otherwise, they're going to take your farm. So this year is the debt-free year. Get rid of your debt or they will take everything. If you have a mortgage, you're going to want to think about actually just walking away and cutting your losses. If you have a car loan or something like that, again, same thing. Get an old beat up piece of crap, on sell that, get rid of your debt, people. Because they are, as anybody who's looking with a serious eye can see, that debt levels are increasing at an astronomical rate, never before seen. Everybody from the United States, the EU, Greece, it matters not where you point the finger, everybody's debt is increasing at a monstrous pace. And the reason for that is the international bankster scumbaggery elite have the direct intention of calling in those loans this year and using that as the collateral to basically foreclose on all the remaining private property and form their new world order. And it's very scary, horrible, terrible reality that we have to face that. And every time Lindsay Williams has predicted something, whether that be the oil prices dropping from $150, $160, $180 a barrel down to $40, $45 within 6 months and then stay down there for 9 months. He predicted that 6 months before it happened, and it did stay down for exactly 9 months, exactly as he said. And it's not because he's got a crystal ball. It's because he's talking to members of the elite who are in on these plans. All of the stuff is laid out well in advance. If you're a reasonable, decent citizen, you can't sit around and say, I don't know what the future holds. All you need to do is have a look at those who plan for the future, like the elite, and you will certainly be informed relatively quickly about what the future holds. It's not mystical. It's not magic. It's just good planning by bad, evil minds. And I think this is actually a decent place to leave off. This is the final show for this round of the United We Strike radio broadcast. And as I said in the start of this, before we kicked off, malignant humor, I wanted to thank specifically the people who work really hard behind the scenes at United We Strike, Rick, Karen, Tracy, JP, and everybody else. I mean, there's almost too many to mention, because you guys are all incredibly wonderful, really nice, loving, caring people. And I feel improved simply in my mood, simply in my very existence, by having known you, by having the pleasure to talk with you, be with you, and to love you. Thank you so much.
Wow, Vinny, thank you so much. This is truly a united effort. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Tracy. And turning it over to you, JP, because you are a good closer, and I know you got this down. And stay tuned, folks.
We might as well play that Unity song, JP?
Good idea.
Hey.
Sounds great.
So I'll be taking you through the night. Where is it? Oh, gosh.
Thanks, Finny.
You're welcome. And ladies and gentlemen, you can check me out 5 days a week at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, or just Google my name, Vinny Eastwood. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, allegedly.
And it's nice to see you working, Vinny. I bet your YouTubes are going to be very successful.
For a generation, just beyond my reach, not beyond my sight. Hope for a generation. Hope for a generation, just beyond my reach, not beyond my sight. Hope for a generation. Not beyond. the music. I love the music. The music is me. The music is you. The music can be something we do. The music is good and music is right, and music can stand strong right through the night, and music can hold you, music can keep you safe from harm.